morning. Take your Bibles now. Go to the book of Acts. New Testament, book of Acts, chapter number 4. Reading a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning, verses 18 through verse number 31. Read them responsively. I'll begin on verse number 18. You'll join me on verse number 19, all the way through verse number 31. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 18, the Bible says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art my God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness."
Here in Acts chapter 4, I want to take a truth today, and I want to help you. I think that if you'll listen today, it will calm you, it will help you, it'll encourage you, it'll excite you if you allow it to. The early church here in Jerusalem, and may I say this, the church did not start in the book of Acts. Church started in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." By Matthew chapter 18, they were already talking about the church. The church had exceptional growth after Calvary and the resurrection. That's what Pentecost was. Pentecost was not the start of the church. Jesus started the church, not Peter.
Right. That's right.
It wasn't started upon Peter, it was started upon Jesus. Jesus paid for the church. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Now, just so you know, the early church was facing persecution by the government. It was facing persecution by religion.
That's right.
Brother Wiley was driving the bus today. Mrs. Lopez was, of course, the captain on the bus, and she was saying, "Preacher, you ought to have seen all the looks we were getting as we came to church this morning." I said, "Well, did you look back at them?" All right. It doesn't bother me a bit. I say, "Preacher, you shouldn't be that way." Okay, don't be that way. I will. It doesn't bother me. The government got so bad that according to Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that the government pulled Peter and John in and told them that they could no longer preach in the name of Jesus. Now, the Roman government did not like Christianity. Remember, this is the Roman Empire. This is Herod. This is Pontius Pilate. These are the Caesars, the same ones that had control of the Catholic Church 300 years later. Everybody doing okay? Peter and John had been thrown in jail for preaching in the name of Jesus. They had seen a well-known beggar who got saved and got healed. And it started causing a stir, and people were leaving the temple to go to the church. There is a difference between the temple and the church. Jesus did away with the temple. He started the church. Now watch this. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 3, just same chapter we were in, they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day. In other words, the holding tank, amen? Holding prison. For it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Peter and John had been preaching and saw 5,000 people get saved. And they were all waiting outside the jail to find out what they were going to do. Waited all night. And the government officials started getting a little worried. Said, uh-oh. You say, what's the difference, preacher? Nowadays, everybody's home watching church on video and not going to church. And the government's not afraid of the God.
Right.
I didn't say that. The government meets to see what they can do to these salty Baptist preachers. They decide to tell them that as long as they quit preaching in the name of Jesus, they'll let them go. I love the response of Peter and John. Look at verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
That's good.
They said, look, you can do to us what you want. You may think that it's wrong for me to obey God and to obey you, but we are going to preach the truth, like it or lump it.
Amen.
Now, like it or lump it's in the Greek, all right? It wasn't translated, but I want you to notice something. Peter and John didn't give a flip what the government said. They were going to preach the truth.
Amen.
They weren't trying to be rebellious, but when God's ways contradict man's ways, we go by God's ways.
Amen.
A bunch of these sissy britches are out there. Well, when we got to do what Romans 14 says, and we got to obey the higher powers. Well, I'm obeying the highest power. His name is God.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Peter and John weren't worried about being politically correct. They were more worried about being biblically correct. Peter and John were not going to change because of the government or the religion of the world. If you look at verse number 21, after they said that, watch this. So when they further threatened them, they ratcheted up the heat a little bit. Say, what happened? They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because the people for the old men glorified God, which was done. They said, look, we'll turn up the heat. What are you going to do to us? Can't do anything. Preacher, what are you going to do if they make it illegal to go to church? They can't.
Right.
But even if they do, I'm coming to church and I'm preaching.
Amen.
Say, well, what could they do? They can give you a summons for $100 for illegal gathering. That's it. That's the extent of the law, just so you know. You mean they're not going to be able to throw us in jail? Nope. Not at all. Now listen to this very carefully. There comes a time when truth will conflict with the governments of this world.
That's right.
There will come a time when the Bible contradicts man. Governments run by men are influenced by man and sin and Satan. Let me say that again. Governments are run by man.
That's right.
Which means they're influenced by sin, man, and Satan.
Right.
We better be careful listening to satanic law.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:12 still in the book. We'll hit that in a minute. As the old preacher used to say, these are cross-bearing days, not crown-wearing days. This is the time, like in Acts, that we need to stand for the truth no matter what the government says. Now, listen, it's not time for sugar-coated Christianity. It's time for salty Christianity.
That's good. Amen.
Salt stings. Right. Did you ever cut your finger and stick it in a bag of chips and get that salt in there? Say, how do you know? Many bags of chips, amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get salt in a wound, it stings a little bit. Salt, when you get it on your tongue, kind of has a little bite to it. God compares Christianity to salt. book of Matthew calls us the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
Wow, that's good.
We got a bunch of sissy britcher sugar-coated preachers out there that got a wet noodle for a spine.
Right.
Well, you met one that doesn't wiggle when he walks, and there ain't no lace on the underwear. It's not going to happen. I'm crusty. I'm salty. I get it. But I just believe that the word of let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Now, it's not time for sugar-coated Christianity. Peter and John were not anarchists, but the government wasn't going to tell them what they could do for God. They understood the need for it, and they did not resist it. Notice, they were thrown into prison, but they didn't resist going. They didn't lead a rebellion against going. They weren't blowing kisses saying, watch this, y'all, either, though. But they were not going to let the government dictate Christianity.
Amen.
Now, this young, growing church was faced with tough times. Political opposition is nothing new to Christianity.
Right.
Say that again. Political opposition is nothing new to Christianity. Oh, maybe the type of opposition may change, but political opposition to Christianity has not changed. Why? Because man wants to be his own God.
That's right.
And government is man ruling man. Everybody look at me for just a moment. Our public schools and our public universities have created what we have today.
That's right.
We have kicked the truth out. We've tried to explain away slavery and the Civil War, neither one by which was about slavery.
That's right.
We've tried to get rid of all the bad things in our history. Watch this. So that the current leaders could now be the bad people to dictate the slaves, which is the common people.
Right.
So many people don't understand history because we have changed the teaching of history. Do you know what the first premise of communism is? There are no absolutes. There is no right and wrong. Right and wrong is dictated by the government. Sound familiar? Well, you can't say that that's right or wrong. Everybody has a right to change. Did you ever notice that the numbers of death and the numbers of coronavirus, they're not telling you about how many LGBTQ people have this thing. It's all either, it's just people. They're not breaking it down that way. Well, it's real important that we break everything else down. Everybody should have the right to choose. Okay, then we ought to have the right to choose to go to church.
Good.
See, we've created an atmosphere where the media is right, where the government is always right, that when your children start in a public school, the government owns them, not you. We've just released billions of dollars to put food into the public school system because those children will starve to death if they don't go to school. That is a lie out of hell. The public school system is not there to feed the children.
Amen.
It's criminal that a child can't read by third grade in the public school system.
Amen.
We had to pass a law saying that they need to be able to read by third grade.
Right.
Now, and by the way, their third grade reading level was lower than my kindergartners in the Christian school were before. Everybody doing all right? In other words, opposition is not, and by the way, I don't think this is an attack on Christianity. I don't believe what's going on is an attack against Christianity. If you were here Wednesday night, I made the statement, the problem in America today is 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. It is a problem of Christianity not standing up. I don't blame the White House, I blame the church house. I don't blame the president, I blame the pulpit. Got a bunch of lily-livered, pussy-foot, ear-tickling, back-scratching preachers up there who want to kowtow to everybody in society and be culturally acceptable. Well, I still believe the word of culture is cult.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not worried about being culturally acceptable. I'm worried about being accepted by God and doing that which is right by the word of God.
Amen, preacher.
So let me help you today. Number one, I call this in times like these. In times like these. Say, what are you talking about? Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. In times like these, what did they do? I'll show you what they did. The same disciples, the same Christians here in Jerusalem are the same people in the church of Ephesus that God gives us the book of Ephesians to. The same God wrote these. Ephesians chapter 6, watch this. Look at verse number 10. Now, I want you to notice God's words here. Finally, my what?
Brethren.
Is that talking to the lost or to the saved?
Saved.
Okay, say it out loud again. To the lost or to the saved?
Saved.
There you go. Whew, scared me for a second. Had to wake a few of you up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Does that mean hide in your house? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at me. The armor of God is not to put on display in a trophy case and say, look at it.
Amen.
The armor of God is to be put onto the Christian's body and to be worn for battle. It's time to battle, not time to look at the trophy.
Amen.
Let's keep reading. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's governments, and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's religion. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. What is it? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's today, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what?
Truth.
Not the media. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look at me. I grew up in church. I'm 52 years old. I'll be 53 in May, and I've been going to church for over 53 years. I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. Amen. Can I tell you something? My whole life, I've heard preachers preach series of sermons on the armor of God. They would have big suits of armor out there and polish them all up, and everybody thought it was great. They knew what the armor of God was. Well, the armor is for one purpose, and that's war.
Amen.
It's not to put in a trophy case and show everybody how polished and how spit shined you can get it. It's not time to look at how beautiful it is. It's time to put it on and start whacking a little bit.
Amen.
Say, why do you need armor? Because somebody's fighting back. Doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt. You might have armor on and take a shot. You might get hurt, but guess what? You may not die.
Right.
You can put on a, they used to call them flak jackets or bulletproof vest. You might take a shot, but it's going to knock the air out of you. You could break a couple ribs. You're going to feel it for a while. I'm watching some of you guys nod your heads. You know what I'm talking about. I've not ever been shot with one. Don't plan on it. Amen. But I know men and ladies who have been, and they'll tell you it's like getting hit with a sledgehammer. Now, you didn't die, but you were going for a while after you got hit. It'll knock you right off your feet. It doesn't mean that you don't get hurt, but it may keep you from dying. Now, listen to me. The armor is for battle, not for display.
Right.
We have a real battle that we are in right now, and it is a spiritual battle, as well as a physical battle. Now listen to me. We had better have the armor of God on. Amen. Yesterday we went out soul winning. We went out knocking on doors, telling folks about Jesus. Say, in times like these, yes, especially in times like these. I only got two nasty phone calls at the church. Amen. I can't believe in a pandemic you people are out here. My wife's response to that was precious. She said, those people, when they die and go to hell, will remember this day.
That's right.
She said, and they'll be sad, not angry.
That's right.
Whew. Hate it when my wife's more spiritual than me. I wanted to call them back and tell them what I thought. That was my flesh. I didn't. If I have to choose God or jail, you can come see me at Eastern Regional with Brother Juan. Amen. Say why? Because I'm not going to be in a hail of bullets. I'll do whatever they say I have done, but I'm not changing the word of God for anybody.
Amen.
I will not look down on those who have not had church today or did it, what do they call it, when you live feed or something like that, live stream, live feed, virtual reality, whatever. I just have a hard time believing that God can't protect us, folks. It is time to spiritually arm up and get ready. We are going to do battle with the devil. I don't know that the day may come where we might have to battle for our own lives and our own property. I can't tell you that that's not coming. Just protect your toilet paper, amen?
Amen.
Oh, my soul. I can't say what I'm thinking right now. But I do love my neighbors, all I'm going to say. I have a neighbor that put it quite well, and see me afterwards, I'll tell you what he said. But I can't even use all the words he used, but it was quite well. Can I tell you something? Yeah, I'll tell Bob and he can tell everybody. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? It's time for us to realize we're going to have to fight for what we believe.
Right.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I love the story. In Chicago, years and years and years ago, the great infidel Thomas Paine was getting up and talking about how his anti-God philosophy was there. And he said, I challenge God. He stood on a big platform there in the middle of Chicago and he said, I challenge God that he'll knock me off this platform in the next 10 minutes. He began to mock God for about 9 minutes. And all of a sudden, the University of Chicago football team came out to practice. And one of those big old linebackers heard that infidel running his fat mouth. And that old linebacker just started a running. And he hit Thomas Paine so hard, he blew him right off that platform. And the crowd began to cheer. Thomas Paine stood up and he said, what are you doing? He said, God was busy. He sent me.
Amen.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to be that one with the shoulder pads knocking the idiot off the platform. Amen. It's time we stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
Not step back, not sugarcoat, but be salty. Time we get a little salt about ourselves and decide, hey, if we don't have much time, we better be working because we ought to take everybody with us we can. Because when the trumpet sounds, there's no more soul winning. There's no more Holy Spirit. There's no more righteousness left in this world. And can you imagine a world full of Nancy Pelosi's? That's what this world's facing. So, number one, it's time to use the armor, not just polish it. Number two, we must keep preaching what we have preached. We must keep preaching what we have preached. Look at Acts chapter 4 again. I want you to notice what God says here. Acts 4, verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and have heard. Notice, past tense. We have to speak the things we have seen and have heard. That doesn't mean we come up with new doctrines. Amen. Doesn't mean we become culturally acceptable. Notice God says the old-fashioned ways, the old-fashioned truths. We don't need a new Bible. We need to preach the old one. If it worked for Grandma and it worked for D.L. Moody and it worked for Charles Spurgeon, it'll work for us today. If it worked for Billy Sunday and Brother Hiles and Dr. Rice and Dr. Robertson, it'll work today. It worked for Joe Boyd, it'll work today. It worked for the apostles, it'll work today. Hey, they turned the world upside down with this very book right here. It's about the world's upside down. Time for us to turn it right side up. You see, Peter and John did not preach to please the politicians. They preached what Jesus told them to preach. They said, you can do whatever you want, just don't speak in the name of Jesus. They hate that word. They hate the name of Jesus. The people that called upset with us soul winning hate the name of Jesus. I don't think they're bad people. They'll believe the lie of the media over the truth of the gospel.
You're right.
Everybody doing okay?
Preaching.
They'll believe the science of the CDC, who really doesn't have good science.
Nope.
Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. That's the CDC. They're the ones that put that out. Now, listen. Verse 21. The government further threatened them. So when they had further threatened them. Don't expect it to get any easier. In the last 3 days, you've heard this statement on the news more and more. We're coming to a new normal. This is what they want all the time. They're trying to place this as a new normal. There ain't nothing normal about this. Now, may I say this? They're going to come against us. Do me a favor. If the press comes to interview for some stupid reason, just tell them they need to come see me. You don't want to speak to the press as bad as you want to tell them off, because they will misconstrue everything you say. Look what they've done to President Trump. Your best comment is no comment, go see the preacher. Say, what's your comment going to be to them? Don't know yet, and I may not even talk to them. I'm not worried about it. Jesus' name will always be hated. I do know this. I know that early this morning, our governor prospect, Mike Folk, asked if he could call me this afternoon. I don't even know what about. Doesn't mean anything right now, but maybe he finally found somebody who's got enough guts to tell the truth. And I will tell him the truth, whether I like it or not. We are not to change the message. But we're also not to change the method.
Amen.
Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
That's right, preacher.
It's still in the book.
Amen.
The word church means called out assembly. Well, it's only essential services. You tell me what's more essential of keeping people out of hell.
That's right. That's right.
The church is an essential service.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to give in to the government requests. I will kindly decline what they say to do. Now, be wise. If you're sick and have a fever, do me a favor, stay home.
Amen.
But that's true anytime.
Right. Amen. That's good.
if you cough in your hand or sneeze in your hand, do me a favor. Don't put it in mine or anybody else's. Brother Juan got here this morning, got out of his truck, goes, choo! Walks up and said, "Preacher, I sneezed in my hand. Hang on." Went to the washroom, washed his hands, came back, shook my hand. Amen. Say, what is that? That's the way it's supposed to be done. There was a day when you didn't have to teach people that because they got taught that at home. Now, you say, what is it? We're going to keep the same methods. We're going to keep soul winning going. We're going to continue to knock on doors. We're going to continue to pass out tracts, tell people about Jesus, because they're going to die and go to hell real quickly here unless they get saved.
Right.
Brother Harry and I talked to a feller yesterday that's probably been known as a pretty rough feller. I didn't let that intimidate me. I opened up my Bible and told him he was a sinner on his way to hell and needed to get saved. Watch the man bow his head. Now, he doesn't understand it quite all, but he got enough of it. He finally met somebody who's got enough guts to face him with it. I wasn't mean. I wasn't rude, but may I say this, we're going to keep going to church. We're going to keep our good spirit up, and we're just going to practice what we've always practiced. Number three, and I'll be done. God tells us also in verse number 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, watch this, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Can I tell you something? We need to ask God for all boldness right now. All boldness. We need boldness. Watch this. Not rudeness.
Amen.
There is a difference in rude and bold. Boldness means willing to take a risk. It means innovative. It means confident. Let me show you what I mean. Willing to take a risk. That means going to the store. Willing to take a risk. But did you know that while you're there at the store, you can pass out gospel tracts and witness to people?
Sure.
Did you know that that's called being innovative or being bold? Did you know that everybody's... Mrs. Barnes said it yesterday morning. We were getting ready to go out soul winning, and she texted me. She said, "Well, preacher, at least we know more people will be home than normal on Saturday." And that was true. Say, what did you do with those that didn't answer the door? Same thing I always do. I left track, kept on going. You see, just because they don't open their door doesn't mean they're bad people. Maybe they're not well. Maybe they're just choosing not to answer their door. That's fine. They have that right. You say, well, we can't go soul winning my subdivision. My subdivision says this. Your subdivision is not the law.
Amen.
I have people all the time tell me about their subdivision. I say, well, you have to live by that rule. I don't. See you later. It doesn't bother me. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to have boldness. Did you know that the hospitals right now aren't closing down? If the hospitals aren't closing down, why are the churches? If we're truly there to help people, why are we shutting them down? Everybody doing okay? This church is a hospital, not a museum.
Yes, sir.
Shut the Smithsonian down, but keep the church house open.
Right.
Say, when are you going to shut down, preacher? When every store and gas station is shut in this area, then I'll close the doors.
Good.
But until then, we're staying open. If Walmart's okay, how come the house of God's not? If Target's okay, how come the house of God's not?
Amen.
If Sheetz is okay, how come God's house is not?
Amen.
Well, those are essential services. If Wise can be open, how come the place of all wisdom not be open?
Amen.
Can I tell you something? We're going to stay open.
Amen.
We're going to keep doing what we do. Bless the Lord, we're going to keep running the bus. We had 18 or 19 plus workers come in on that bus today. Our bus was the second largest church in the area today. I have no problem with this, folks. We're going to keep visiting people. We're going to keep helping hurting people. Now, Brother Josh and I talked about, and we had already started the beginning stages of starting to get into some nursing homes, and then all this hit. We've put it on hold. Not because I want to bull my way through it, but right now I understand what the need to close off some of those places are.
Sorry.
I get that. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not angry with that. Next Saturday we were supposed to be down here at the rehab. They have it all sealed off, can't get in. Only the residents can go in. There's no visiting of any kind going in on there. And that breaks my heart, but those are the rules they've chosen to live by. It's okay. I'm not going to force my way in on anybody, but those that'll listen, I'm dead sure going to knock on their door. I'm dead sure going to talk to everybody I can talk to. You say, how do you get boldness, preacher? Look at verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now look at me. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you'll have all the boldness you need. Now, everybody listen to this statement. That doesn't mean it gets any easier to do it. Do you know what I think the first time I knock on a door is? Man, I hope they're not home. Say why? Because I'm like you. I really have that pit right there. I hope they're not here. But Brother Josh, something happens. I hear footsteps. Then I hear the doorknob. And something happens inside of me. It's like when that door opens, the Holy Spirit flips a switch in me. And I got a gospel tract in my hand, and I say, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. And all of a sudden, every bit of that fear is gone. I can't tell you how it happens. I just know that it does. I just got to get to the point where I'm at the door and have knocked. If I can get to that point, or ring the doorbell, whichever comes first. But when I'm to that point, I'm still, but all of a sudden something happens. And the Holy Spirit kicks in because it's not me, it's him through me, and I have all the boldness I need. I know you don't believe this, but I'm a shy, quiet person by nature. I really am. I don't like conflict. I don't like being bold. But when God called me to preach, he put it in there. And I use it when I'm needing to use it. Can I tell you something? Let's leave here today armed with gospel tracts. Let's leave here today armed with the armor of God, filled with the Spirit of God. And the filling of the Spirit of God isn't the lights flashing and you flopping on the floor, jibber-jabbering in some unknown tongue. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means you've yielded to him and you're obeying the Word of God. He cannot and will not work outside the confines of the Word of God. Churches that have changed their Bible aren't seeing people saved. Can I tell you why? Because the Holy Spirit can't work with a Bible that has no life. They can have a big crowd. Well, not today. But they can have a big crowd, but there's not people getting saved because they're using the wrong Bible. There's no life in it. And where there's no life, the Holy Spirit can't be. It's not his words. It's man's words. We've got the right book. We've got the right message. We've got the right method. We just need obedience to it and let God work through us.
Right.
So let's invite people to church. Tell them church is open.
Right.
Boldness is not being rude or critical. It's not tearing others down. It's just speaking up for truth. We just need to speak the truth. They called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further had threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all the men glorified God. All this to say, we don't need to be afraid.
Amen.
You have nothing to fear. Guess what? Every human being is going to die. Whether you die of this virus or die of old age or die of a car accident or die of ugliness, it doesn't matter. We're all going to die. Now, let's just face it. Let's quit fearing it. Can I tell you why men are afraid and people are afraid today? Because they have no eternity to look forward to. All they have to live for is today. What they can gather around them today. How sad. How sad. Let's be wise. The Bible says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But let's not fail to stand for right. Let's put on the armor of God. Let's go out ready for battle and do battle. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's governments that are fighting. It's the media that is fighting. The common man is not fighting right now. So let's go rescue the perishing and care for the dying.
Amen.
Snatch them in pity from the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. That's what we're supposed to do. And then, when the roll, not the toilet paper roll, is called up yonder, we'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, and may I say something, I think Gabriel's licking his lips right now to blow the trumpet.
Amen.
I think he's getting a deep breath. I think the time is near. I think we ought to be working. I'd rather be found witnessing than hiding. I'd rather be found working than doing nothing.
Amen.
Let's do as God commanded us in times like these. These aren't unusual times. They're times that Christianity has faced since the beginning of Christianity. It's nothing new. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. And that was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. If you've never been saved, why don't you come and trust Jesus as your Savior? If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Whatever your need, maybe you just want to come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get a hold of God and see if he could help us put a little more salt into our country. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do today,